Good morning. This is Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who've been called to various types of ministries in their churches and in their communities. Today, we're here with Nick Turner. Nick is the pastor at Monterey First Assembly of God, and Nick wants to share worship times with you. They meet in Monterey at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for worship. On Sunday nights, they come back at 6 o'clock for evening worship, and then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, you can find them at Monterey First Assembly of God, and they would love to have you be a part of their group.
Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Thank you, Nick, for being here this morning.
It's good to be here with you this morning.
I'm so glad to have you here. You know, I don't know a whole lot about you, and I usually do a little background search on my guests and try to learn a little bit more, but tell us where you grew up.
We actually grew up in a small community in Overton County. It's Holly Springs.
Holly Springs.
Yes.
That sounds like something off the Hallmark Channel.
Almost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We were very active when we were young. We were on horseback the biggest part of the time that we were growing up.
Oh, wow. Did you have your own horse?
Oh, yes. Yes, I started riding when I was probably 11, 12 years old, and I continued up until just a few months before I got married.
Oh, okay. What was your horse's name?
Well, I actually had three. My first one was Lucky.
Lucky.
Yes.
I love that.
And then I had a Tennessee walking mare who was Lady's Little Gypsy.
Lady's Little Gypsy.
Yes.
Lucky and Lady's Little Gypsy. Okay.
All right. And then the other one was Queenie. She was just a little Shetland pony.
Oh, wow. Ponies are mean, aren't they?
They are mean.
So who did you enjoy riding the most?
Lady's Little Gypsy.
How did you name her Lady's Little Gypsy?
Well, actually, I had bought her from a friend of my dad's, and she actually took the blue ribbon in the Putnam County horse show in the fair.
Wow.
And we started working with her there. Her name was actually came through the pedigree that she had.
My goodness. What a fancy horse you had.
Well, she was.
Yeah.
Was.
So you stopped riding then when you got married? You
yes.
just didn't have time?
Did not have time.
Yeah.
Actually, about a year, year and a half before I got married, I met the Lord.
Okay.
A friend of mine had invited me to a youth group. And for me, I thought it was just a way of getting out of the house. You know, mom and dad, when you're 17, you're looking for any excuse to get away from the house.
Yeah, me girls. Hang out with friends.
Yes.
Do anything.
Do some stuff we're probably not proud of and not what we really wanted to do.
You know, everybody's got a history.
That's true.
We don't judge here on The Calling.
That's great. But no, we went to the youth group that night and got saved. The Lord touched my heart, and it was with a select group of young people that I had gone to school with. Did not know that they were in church at the time, and that was in June of 1976.
Wow. So when did you get married?
We actually got married in December of 78.
Oh, my goodness. So you've been married how many years now? I'm going to let you do that math.
Okay. It'll be about 42 years come this December.
Isn't that wonderful? Okay. So tell us, what is the secret to being married 42 years to the same person?
Listen to what your wife has to say.
You know what? Listening is important in every relationship.
No, the most important thing that we have found is keeping God in the center of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We started out that way, and the Lord, I'm not saying that we didn't have our rough times.
Sure.
But the Lord has helped us through every situation that we have faced.
Tell us your lovely wife's name.
Our wife's name is Leela.
Leela. Good morning, Leela. We're assuming she's listening to you this morning.
I hope so.
So did you and Leela have children together?
We did. We have two sons. Our oldest son is Christopher Eric Turner, and our youngest son is Nathan Wayne Turner.
Okay, wonderful. Well, excellent. What was it like raising a couple of boys, having boys in the house?
Interesting.
Yeah, busy.
Interesting. Very
no wonder
busy.
You didn't have time for horseback riding. You were raising a couple of boys.
Right. We got them involved early on in sports, in T-ball, in Little League.
Isn't it important to have kids involved in stuff like that? Because you can tell as an adult if a kid has never, if a child has never worked cooperatively as a team.
Yes.
It's important to learn to work with other people.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Got to have that give and take. Got to know when to pass the ball.
That's true.
And to appreciate someone else's skills, too.
Yes.
What was the hardest thing about raising boys?
The hardest thing probably was directing them in the correct way. You know, we want our children to follow after our footsteps, especially if our footsteps are guided by the Lord. But, you know, we have to realize that they have to make their own choices. And some of the hardest things that we faced was letting our sons go.
Oh,
letting them
hard.
Make their own choices.
Yeah. And letting them fail.
Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the hardest things for a parent, that you know in the route they're going to fail at it, but there's nothing that you can do except for pray that the Lord catch them when they fall.
So what was the best thing about raising boys?
The greatest thing about raising them was watching their accomplishments.
Yeah.
You know, in several of the activities that they'd done, they had won awards and medals and stuff. And, you know, that's very soothing and comforting for the parent to see their children excel in what they're doing.
Yeah. And you got to go to all those ball games.
Oh, yes.
It's always fun. Always fun. Ball games for what? 20 years.
At least.
Yeah. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Pastor Nick Turner. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're back this morning with Reverend Nick Turner. Nick is the pastor at Monterey First Assembly of God. Nick, tell us the address of your church in case people don't know where that is.
Please don't look it up on Google, because if you do, it's going to send you about 3 miles past where our church is at. Our church is actually located at 1050 North Chestnut Avenue. Most people put it in as 1050 Hanging Limb Highway. And that shoots you out about 3 to 4 miles past our church. So
okay.
It's 1050 North Chestnut.
And they want to invite you to join them at 10 o'clock on Sundays for Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship, 6 o'clock for evening service, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Come join the good people at Monterey First Assembly of God. We want to talk to you a little bit now, Nick, about your calling. You mentioned something that's interesting to me. You went to a youth group just to get out of the house and be with friends, and you ended up encountering God,
our
there.
Lord and Savior.
How
yes.
in the world? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the youth group that was formed, it was in the Bethlehem Methodist Church there in Overton County.
Uh-huh.
And they had a large group of young ladies that were there and young gentlemen, and they were playing volleyball a lot. They would come together, you know, Friday nights and play volleyball. It was a good way to keep the kids off the street and keep them out of trouble. And I fell in with them, and of course I always enjoyed playing volleyball, and especially that the ladies were there. And
it's always nice when it's a co-ed team.
It is. And you know, the pastor at the time, Brother Kenneth Clayton, he was very active with the youth at that time. And it just went from one thing to another. We went in for a devotional that night, and the Lord touched my heart. I came to know Him, and you know, it's grown better ever since.
How did you feel a calling into ministry? That's a pretty big step.
It is. When we left the Bethlehem Church, we actually helped to build a church, and I was very active in the youth there. And my first step into ministry was actually song leading.
Oh, wow.
I was the song leader there for the church for about 2 to 3 years.
Do you still sing?
I hum a lot.
You do? Okay. All right.
No, my wife does the biggest part of the singing.
Gotcha.
I enjoy listening to her. But I help out when I need to. But no, we started in ministry, actually in song. And then one night, it was we had a young man that was doing a song, and At that time, they wouldn't let him get on stage because his hair was too long.
Oh, my.
And the Lord impressed on me to say a few words, and that was really where my ministry started. And I was never one up to that point to get in front of a crowd. But God touched my heart, and my heart has been with youth for several years. After we'd done our first pastorate in Jackson County, we felt the call to come into Monterey, and we were actually the youth pastor there at Monterey for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I love working with kids. I really do. And there's nothing better to me than teaching them the Word of God, because that's something that's going to stay with them the rest of their life.
They bury it in their hearts,
don't they?
Yeah, and they then out of nowhere, it comes back.
You know, I heard a televangelist, and I've been to see him a couple of times, Brother Morris Sorella, and when he would start his ministry, he said, take this and put it in your spirit. Take it and put it in your spirit.
I love that.
So that, you know, and we never know when that we can use the Word of the Lord, and as long as we study it and we've got it in our heart, then it's available.
Were you scared when you stepped up there that first time?
That first time, no. No, I really wasn't. The second time, I was scared to death.
You had time to think about it the second time.
That's right. That's right. When you're preparing a message, of course, you want everything to come out the way that you want to think the Lord wants it to come out, the way that you want to present it. And when you've got time to think about it, you read into it all your failures and such. So
here you are, pastor.
Yes.
Before you went to that youth group as a kid, what did you think you'd be when you grew up?
I was looking more at the mechanic field.
Yeah.
Which, in some way, I did go that route. I was an industrial technician for several years. But I always wanted to work with my hands. It really didn't matter what I was doing as long as that I was active and I was working with my hands.
Yeah. Well, you're still working with your hands, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because if we do what we say, if we live how we believe, we're the hands and feet of Christ in
That's
the
exactly
world today.
Right. So, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Nick, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back, and Brother Nick would like to share a short devotional with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in a moment. We're back. You're listening to The Calling. I'm Dana Hornby, and we're here this morning with Nick Turner, who's the pastor at Monterey First Assembly of God, and Nick would like to share a motivational moment.
You know, this morning I like to read from the book of Psalms, actually the 121st Psalms, and it was a song of David, and David was looking where that his help comes from. David's help comes from exactly the same place that we get our help from, and that's from the Lord. Let's read just 8 verses, so let's read that this morning. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Let me ask you this morning while we've just read this. What do you think is the purpose of the mountains in our lives? You know, a lot of times we want to take the mountains out, the struggles that we have. But let's look at one thing this morning. If the mountains had been taken away from Jesus' life, where would we be? If Mount Calvary wasn't there, if the Mount of Olives wasn't there, if the Sermon on the Mount, you know, when we take and we go through trials and we go through temptations, you know, it's to help improve us. You know, we need to take and look at the mountains that we have in our lives, assess them as what they are. They're just another obstacle that we get over to go to the Lord. Now, think about this. If Jesus had wiped out all the mountains in his life, where would we be at? You know, Calvary was there, Mount Calvary. You know, I've stood before Mount Calvary, and it's an awesome, awesome place. the Garden of Gethsemane. We were lucky enough to go to Jerusalem last year. And, you know, it's a very rugged and a very, very rocky place and a mountainous place. But I think of one thing more than anything else, and that is Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor was the place of Jesus' ascension unto heaven. If that mountain had been taken out, where would we be at today? What could we look forward to? You know, the Lord has taken and He's climbed every mountain for us. The thing about it is that we need to realize that we don't have to do it alone. You know, the enemy wants to take and set us on a shelf and say, you're there doing it by yourself. Jesus' word says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And David looked and he said, in the first verse, I will lift up to mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, the Lord is lifted up on high. The only thing we have to do is call upon Him and He's there. He's always been there for us. A lot of times, as I said before, the enemy wants to tell us that we're isolated, that we're doing this all by ourselves. Hey, it's a mutual walk. It's a personal relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does it mean that we won't fail? No, it doesn't mean we won't fail, but it means that we've got somebody there with us that helps us along the way. And you know, when we're willing to ask, He's willing to forgive and He's willing to set us back right on that path that we may have strayed from. And Jesus is there to help us. You know, when He preached the Sermon on the Mount, it was blessings. A lot of it was blessings. And it's always a blessing to sit at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ and to listen to Him teach. And you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, there was multiple thousands that were sitting around there. And it was a time that Jesus was able to share, you know, we need to come away and get out of this rat race that we're in now. Shove back from the things that the enemy is trying to overwhelm our mind with and take some time. You know, if it isn't more than just 5 or 10 minutes a day to sit down and to read God's word and to look into the hill, look to the mountain of God, that we can obtain that peace, that serenity that the Lord offers.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Dena Hornby. We're back with The Calling this morning. We're here with Pastor Nick Turner. Nick is at Monterey First Assembly of God. And Nick, this is our last segment of the show. It's my favorite segment of the show because I get to ask you any question I want and you have to answer it.
Okay.
So before the show, I asked Nick if there are any topics that are off limits. And he said, no, are there any of my answers that would be off limits? So I think we're in for a good segment here. Nick, you do get a free pass, or you can plead the fifth on one if you would like.
Okay.
You know, either way, it doesn't matter. So, Nick, what is some of the best advice you've ever been given?
Some of the best advice that I've ever been given was from my dad. Dad always taught me to respect anyone that I was around, regardless of their position, whether they were the janitor or the CEO, they were the same. But he also told me is never try to tell a man anything that knows it all, because you're wasting your time.
Man, that drives me nuts when somebody knows everything.
It does.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
I give them my opinion and I go on.
Okay.
That's another good friend of mine gave me this advice. He said, you only have three kinds of problems, period.
Okay.
You got one that you can solve by yourself, get it done.
Got it.
You got the second one that you can solve, but you got to have help solving it.
Yes.
So get the help you need,
yes,
and get it taken care of. And then the third one that drives us crazy right up the wall is those that we can't do anything at all with. And what we have to do, if they want our opinion, give our opinion and go on.
Yeah.
Don't
totally
let it
out
bother
of control.
You. Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
Sometimes I find myself saying, must be nice to be perfect. And then I realize that's probably not the best response. Might be a little snarky.
Well, perfection is something that we strive for. It doesn't mean we're going to attain it.
Must be nice to know everything. I'll come to you next time I'm confused.
Uh-oh.
All right, Nick, let's see. Okay. When's the last time you've been pulled over by the police?
The last time was probably about 3 years ago.
Really? What'd you do? Run a stop sign?
No.
Speeding?
Seatbelt violation.
Seriously, man?
Seriously.
Wear your seatbelt, dude.
I do. I just had it off that morning most of the time. That's the first thing I do when I get into a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had it off that morning for something and forgot to put it back on, but the state trooper gave me a break. He asked me, he said, Nick, he said, if you promise me you'll wear this, he said, I'm going to let you go. He said, it's too close to Christmas for you to get a ticket right now.
Oh, that was very gracious.
And it really was. And I've not failed buckling my seatbelt since.
Good for you.
I've held my promise.
Dude, buckle up.
That's true.
First thing, everybody listening, if you're driving in your car and you don't have your seatbelt on, put it on now.
Yes.
Seatbelts save lives.
Yes. That's true.
Wonder how much that ticket would have been.
$62.
And it was right before Christmas,
Before Christmas.
Yeah, that hurts.
That does hurt. It would have.
That was very gracious.
Well, you know, we have got some awesome police officials.
Yes, we do. Thank you for your service and taking care of us. We
Absolutely.
Appreciate every effort. We appreciate when you give us warning tickets.
Yes.
And not.
And just because you have a bad experience with one, don't lump everybody into the same category, because they're not. There's some very gracious police officers.
We all have bad days.
Absolutely.
We're all just human. We all make mistakes.
They face a lot of things that we don't have to.
You know, I'd rather not know.
Absolutely.
Ignorance really is bliss. They see a lot of the worst part of life.
Yes.
And so we owe them that debt of gratitude, and our thanks.
Absolutely.
So thank you, every state trooper, every police officer. We appreciate you. So let me ask you this. Talking about getting pulled over by the cops, do you name your car? This is question 3.
No.
You don't name your car? You've never named a car?
No.
Really?
I do my motorcycle. But
oh, you have a motorcycle, do you?
Oh, I've got two.
Tell us about your motorcycle.
Oh, my wife and I have been riding for about 8-9 years now.
Really?
Somewhere.
So they're his and hers?
Yes. Well, I've got a 1999 Harley-Davidson Ultra Classic.
Nice.
And my wife, we just got it for her this last summer, a 1999 Ultra Classic Trike.
Wow.
And the really fun thing about it is that these bikes were produced in the same factory, and I bought mine in the early 2000s, and there's only 600 miles difference in those
bikes.
Oh, you're
kidding.
No, I'm not.
That's pretty cool.
And they both have the exact same paint scheme. They're exactly the same color.
That's awesome.
I had a guy ask me, he said, did you have those custom painted?
Right.
I said, no, they came that way.
That's amazing.
It really
so
is.
So where do you like to ride those Harley Davidsons?
Well, we ride them up the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Oh, I bet that's
gorgeous.
We've
been all the way up to Fancy Gap, Virginia, and we're planning a trip to the Shenandoah Valley, hopefully this summer.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. So what's your Harley's name?
Ruby is mine.
Ruby?
Yes.
Okay. And your wife, is there a name for her?
She just rides. She doesn't.
Okay.
She just, actually, she likes to ride as much or more than what I do.
Yeah, there's nothing like the wind in your hair.
Well, the thing about it is you can be, it was 3 years ago we were riding in the Harley Rally. And the particular ride that we'd taken with them, there's 450 bikes in that rally.
Oh, wow.
And you was in the middle of a crowd alone.
Wow.
Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, but
no, I could see that. Yeah,
it really is.
You know, the rumble of a Harley is very distinctive. I can't imagine 450.
It's awesome.
That's amazing.
It
yeah.
is. I don't know if the rally is going to be here in Cookeville again this year or not. If it is, I would invite anybody to come out and just listen to them start and leave on the rides.
Yes, absolutely. If you're looking for a Harley riding preacher, you just found one, because
yes.
you got Pastor Nick on his Harley Ruby. So absolutely. That's awesome. Let's see, Nick, if you could have a superpower, what would your superpower be?
Mind reading.
Oh, really? You want to
trouble.
Know all that?
At least I'd know what the next question would be.
Oh my gosh, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
It really would.
You would hear people like saying, "Oh wow, he looks great in that shirt today," or "I cannot believe this guy just said that."
That's true.
Wow. You know, I've never had a guest give me that answer, mind reading. That's awesome.
But you know, you might be able to help somebody if you could read their mind, know what they're thinking, know
Absolutely.
Which way direction they were going. You might be able to steer them back in a correct way.
Or you might run for your life.
That's true. He give you an out to get away.
That's awesome. Okay, let's see. Last question. Nick, if you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, and you can't say Jesus because that's the preacher answer.
Okay.
So three people, dead or alive, who would you have dinner with?
Number one, probably President Trump.
Okay.
Number two, Abraham Lincoln.
Oh.
My third one is Charles Spurgeon.
Well, my goodness. There you go. What a dinner party. My heavens. I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Well, Nick, thank you for your time this morning. You have been an absolute delight. We want to remind our listeners that Nick is the pastor at Monterey First Assembly of God, and you can find them. Give them the address again.
It's 1050 North Chestnut Avenue, Monterey, Tennessee.
Yes, and use your map like in the old days, because if you put it in your GPS, it'll take you to the wrong place.
Yes.
But we want to invite you to worship with them at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for worship, and they come back on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and they are there on Wednesday nights at 7. Nick, it's been a joy to talk to you this morning and to hear the story of your calling. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Each week, we'll introduce you to members of the community who have followed their call to serve. I'm Dena Hornby, and this has been The Calling.